This episode of Shameless is brought to you by KX Pilates, reformer Pilates workouts to challenge everybody. Welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff. You're joined, as always, by Melbourne writers, Michelle Andrews, that would be me, and Zara McDonald, that would be you.
Hello, and hello, producer Annabelle Lee.
Oh my God, hi.
She's back.
The band is back together for the first time in how many weeks?
Five or six weeks.
Five. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Swearing right off the bat. Good job. Well done.
Coming up on today's show, Coachella is back and the predictions of a flop ended up being dead wrong. Caitlyn Jenner says good riddance to OJ Simpson. Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan's divorce is still going. Zendaya is courting Oscars buzz, and Ozzy is on track to have the most liked TikTok of all time. And we have a tepid / lukewarm update to the silly fake news stories thing we talked about last week.
I can't wait.
But first, Zara McDonald, how was your week?
Great week. You had a wonderful 30th birthday party. Thank you for that.
I did. Am I now hijacking your week story?
Why don't you tell us about it? You tell me about yours.
So Mitch and I threw a joint 30th birthday on Saturday night. Somehow I convinced my wonderful husband to make it pop culture themed, and then I convinced him that we would do not one couple costume but two couples costumes.
He's a man of the people.
He is. Our first outfit was David and Victoria Beckham's purple wedding outfits.
It's iconic.
You looked so good.
And it was made to perfection.
Thank you. It even had like the red lining on the inside. I loved it. Mitch somehow was in like four identical purple things. But our second outfit, I actually have a little story to tell you about the second outfit.
Hit
if I'm
me.
Allowed.
No, you're allowed any story you want. I'll sit back.
So the second outfit, we were like, we want to do soccer playing David Beckham and wag Victoria.
Love it. It was iconic.
I found a pap shot of Victoria. She was wearing this like little white and red tank top with England over the middle. And I was like, oh, that will be easy to recreate. Found an exact replica on Etsy about a month ago. Ordered it. I was like, this will be so easy. I then just need to find like a hat and a pair of sunglasses and we're good to go. The Etsy order was like delayed and then delayed again and delayed again. And it got to the week of the party last week. And I was like, where the fuck is this tank top? Reached out to the guy from England who was sending it. He's like, it's all good. It's been in Australia for ages. Here's the courier company. Here's the tracking code. He sent me the courier company's name. And I was like, I have never heard of this thing in my life. Searched up their website. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh no, this is absolutely a scam.
Oh, like, did you get scammed?
This company, well, I didn't get scammed. The guy from England who booked this cheap courier company got scammed. It was something that like, it's only been live for about 3 weeks. It had about 1,000 one-star reviews.
Oh no.
With everyone either saying my parcel was stolen, never arrived, or it arrived being tampered with. Like someone's clearly gone through, figured out if they wanted to steal this or not, and sent it anyway because they didn't want to steal it.
Oh, your top was probably stolen.
So my top still hasn't arrived. And I was like, oh God, so annoying. But I was still in the headspace of being like, maybe I haven't been scammed. So I went through all the reviews and I was like, nah, I'm going to just reach out to their complaints line anyway. On their website, I call this number. Rings about two times. This guy answers. And I'm like, hi, is this the courier company? And he's like, no, it's not the courier company. I complained about the courier company last week. And these scammers have retaliated by putting my number.
That's kind of iconic.
That is so evil.
And so he goes to me.
You would have to be like, I'm so sorry.
And he's like, do you know how to get my number off the website? And I was like, I'm so sorry, I don't. Kind of slay from this scammer though to be like, fuck this guy.
This guy's gonna have to change his number.
He's like, I'm getting calls every hour. I've been getting calls every hour for a week.
Why is he answering?
Oh, because he's like, I don't know what to do.
It could also be someone important. Like, you never know.
The scammer's calling back to say, all right, fine, we're swapping the numbers.
Like, say sorry and we'll take it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut to the scammer, he's like on a holiday and he's in your little England
So shout out to my sister Evelyn as well. That poor guy, sending commiserations to him, sending thank you to my little sister Evelyn, who made the shirt for me on Friday night, made the tank top, because she was like, you need to wear this outfit. I'm just going to fucking make it for you. And she did a great job.
Oh, she did amazing. It was amazing. I'm always impressed with people that can do arts and crafts. I cannot.
Yeah. I think you have a story from the birthday
as well.
Well,
I actually just had something I wanted to flag to the listeners, and I wanted some feedback, which I'll never, I will never normally go for willingly. I'll normally ignore it. I posted a TikTok after your birthday, and it was of us, Annabelle, going to the party in our stupid costumes. Mm-hmm. We were the Teletubbies, you were the baby son.
Yes.
It was wonderful. And the TikTok was like, ah, costume parties are great, traveling there is not. You know, like a simple,
which is true, yes.
A simple concept. Oh, bit when, funny.
Oh, so relatable.
When Mitch and I got out of the Uber in our all purple outfits, my eyes were glued to the floor. I was like, do not look up, do
but
not make eye contact with anyone.
I was in a Teletubby costume. Anyway, so I posted it, thought it was funny. And in fairness, people were kind about it. There was one comment.
I know the comment.
The red text is the most millennial thing I've ever seen. I love this. Now, I put like some red text over it to explain what was happening. And that comment had 21 likes. I'm like, how is the font I'm using? I don't even think it looked millennial. I thought it looked chic.
I think it looks slightly millennial.
Why does it look millennial?
Because I think it's millennial to not have like a background behind your text.
No, I think that looks tacky on TikTok.
Okay, let's think of the ultimate Gen Zer. Like Alex Earle is considered popular and cool on TikTok. Let me look it up.
Font?
I do think maybe the people have a point.
I am going to screenshot this and we're going to poll it for USA Friday. Is this millennial? And honestly, don't lie. Like, don't just say it is now.
Alex Earle does the, I'm going to turn around my computer to show you, she does the white background, black text.
I just don't think that's chic.
I think it's that not many people use coloured text on TikTok. I don't think it's necessarily millennial. Yeah. I think it's just a bit not very TikTok.
Yeah, where did you know? The font, it's the colour.
Where did the red come from?
Well, I was Poe.
Exactly.
Obviously, duh. Do you have a recommendation?
I have two, if I'm allowed, very quickly. My first is, I saw Groundhog Day at Princess Theatre. I know I've been kind of teetering on the edge of, am I a theatre girly? Am I not a theatre girly?
You've been having an identity crisis trying to work out if it's you.
I think I'm officially all
You're all in.
Oh, over the line. I'm like officially a theatre girly.
Good.
Groundhog Day, which is by Tim Minchin. It was written in 2016. It's currently been playing in Melbourne. It's just the best. It is like 10 out of 10. Unfortunately, my recommendation is not super ideal for the listeners because it's only playing for 2 more days once this podcast comes out.
Oh, great.
But tickets are available. Tickets are available. If you're free this weekend, book tickets. It's one of the best stage shows I have ever seen. And then I have a supplementary recommendation to make up for that ill-timed rec.
That's very thoughtful. What's that?
The JoJo Siwa interview on Call Her Daddy.
Oh, I haven't listened to it.
It's really interesting. A lot of listeners DM'd us about it, told us to listen. I just think it's good listening for everyone. To kind of follow up our segment last week, I will say JoJo makes a big point of saying she calls all the shots. No one directs her with what to do. She doesn't have this big team around her. It's all from her. I know we spoke about that on last week's episode. So I wanted to tell the listeners, I've heard it. My main opinion hasn't really changed, but it's a fascinating interview nonetheless.
I do kind of like in the clips and cut-ups that I've seen that, Alex is definitely asking her the kinds of questions that everybody wants to ask her, and JoJo is being really no-nonsense about it to be like, you're the kind of age of people that kind of take the piss out of me.
Yeah. And
I liked that dynamic.
She's so shameless about saying, I don't care if people hate me. I just want people to talk about me. She doesn't care. She just wants attention and
Perfect.
She just wants fame. And she's achieving that. So, like, fucking power to her.
Well, I don't mind when people are self-aware about it.
Yeah. What are you recommending?
Well, my recommendation is not that highbrow. It's a film called After on Netflix.
Oh, my God, I've seen this.
You've seen it around or you've seen the film?
I've seen the first one and I have seen the subsequent films.
I thought this was new. This is from 2019.
Maybe this is a different one.
I just Googled it. Is it the one with the movie poster where very raunchy, girl in lingerie or maybe a tank top and a guy with a tattoo on his back?
I'm not sure what I've watched.
The film I watched is like very sexy.
It's pretty wholesome. I thought it was new to Netflix. Look, I don't know. I will just post the link in the show notes because I think this is getting confusing. Look, if you want to watch a really bad movie that is like the best thing for you on a Sunday when you are feeling sorry for yourself. This is it. This is the synopsis. Wholesome college freshman Tessa Young thinks she knows what she wants out of life until she crosses paths with complicated bad boy Harden.
This is the one.
No, I think, okay, I'm reading the Wikipedia page for it.
It's so bad that it's good.
It's so bad that it's good. It's like, I said to you the other day, Michelle, you should watch it, because I kind of feel like this movie is if you got a uni assignment for anyone to write a basic plot of a tween rom-com, we would all write this.
And we would all call the brooding guy Harden Scott.
Exactly. So that's my recommendation if you just need something a bit silly in your week.
I love it.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're back. What have you got?
A quick tidbit about the guy who plays Harden. Yeah. He's the nephew of Ralph Fiennes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shut up. Oh, yeah. His name's Hero.
Yeah.
Hero Fiennes Tiffin.
Wow.
That is a bold name to give a child.
And the woman who plays Tessa is the sister of Catherine Langford, who is in 13 Reasons Why.
Nice.
Fuck, do you know these things?
My brain stores weird stuff.
We haven't even spoken about this film this week. You just know this thing. Wait, so there's more of them?
Oh, yeah. I think there was one released last year or something.
Okay, well, I'm going to go back to the drawing board and watch a few of them and come back to you all.
Oh, my God, your next, like, four recs are sorted.
See you all in 6 weeks for something original. We have to quickly tell the listeners, Mish, for those who might have missed it, on Instagram, we have been busy little bees. We are very close to launching Stylish.
We are. Well, the social accounts have already been launched. The newsletter is coming next Tuesday. The podcast a little while after that. If you're not familiar, Stylish is the Shameless Media corner for all things fashion, business, brand and beauty. We're so excited about it.
Oh, it's the kind of pillar that we've been wanting to create, because it's the kind of conversations we're having a lot at this point in our life. I mean, you're 30, I'm 29. And
what a subtle little flex.
I love these 2 months where I can drop that in.
I'm just a baby.
We talk a lot about the intersection between business, brand, fashion and style and the trillion-dollar industry that encapsulates it all. I'm really excited for you guys to consume our newsletter, to jump on our social media accounts, and to eventually listen to the show that's launching at the start of May. I'm proud of it. It's been quite a few months in the making, guys.
Oh my God, it's so good. And we've got such an incredible roster of talent attached to this project. Obviously, our team will be creating content too. We've got so many incredible people in the fashion and beauty space attached. Could not be more pumped.
We're calling it the Stylish Omniverse.
The Stylish Omniverse. I don't know how Omniverse snuck its way in, not only into our lexicon, but to be the main word we use. Like, I think Omniverse is my number one word right now.
Well, I like it. Let's keep using it. Just titled this Omniverse as well. It was our bonus episode yesterday. So shall we get into the quick and dirty? We are bringing you the top, I am scrolling down, 6 stories from the rough and tumble of the celebrity and pop culture news cycle. Michelle Beckham Andrews.
Thank you.
Kick us off.
Our first story, women save the day at Coachella 2024 as festival suffers an identity crisis. That is from The Guardian. Guys, the stuff I'm seeing about Coachella this year, all over my social feeds, looks so good. I was particularly into Sabrina Carpenter's set. She was up on stage performing her brand new single Espresso while her boyfriend Barry watched from the crowd.
He sounds far more low-key when he's just known as the boyfriend Barry.
Boyfriend Barry.
I know. Yeah, he looked really pumped. Did you see the clip of her kind of like flirtily waving to him and him just like getting really embarrassed and awkward? Espresso is quite a bop. It is all over my TikTok feed as well. Sabrina Carpenter does seem to be on this very quick upwards
trajectory
which is really impressive to see. We have to kind of note the many other notable sets that are proliferating the other parts of my TikTok feed. We have to talk about Doja Cat, Mish.
Oh my God. Have you seen this, Annabelle?
Yeah, I have.
Doja Cat's performance, which was the closing set on Sunday night, was so entertaining. She performed in a costume made of hair, like long blonde hair, almost like a Yeti. All of her backup dancers were in all hair costumes alongside her. The choreography and the dancing was just so interesting to see it all together. It does seem to be Doja's reply to the commentary around her shaving her head recently. I know that she's had a lot of commentary around her appearance, a lot of commentary around her hair. And it really feels like this was her saying, you wanted hair, I'm giving you all of the fucking hair under the
Very aggressive. It was kind of odd, kind of fascinating. The LA Times report on her set read, this had to go down among the strangest sets ever to happen at Coachella, which was quite the statement. Obviously, we had No Doubt, Reunite, a band that made Gwen Stefani a household name on Saturday as well. That viral video of Gwen demanding the men in the crowd and only the men in the crowd yell out, "I'm just a girl," went viral. I mean, she's done it on stage before years ago.
Yeah, decades ago.
And it was very famous. And so she pulled it out again. She also brought out Olivia Rodrigo, which was super fun.
They have a cute bond, Olivia Rodrigo and Gwen Stefani.
Olivia has spoken quite a lot about the music that No Doubt have produced over the years and how it's had an impact on her. Although people get really nervous when she says this now, because remember when she said that about Taylor Swift and then...
No comment.
Leave that there. Because yes. Now, that wasn't all though. The Guardian, in that headline you read out, Mish, were right. This was one for the girls. We had Ice Spice with a mammoth crowd. We had Billie Eilish come out to support Lana Del Rey. We had Kesha come out to support Renee Rapp. I saw rave reviews for Ray.
Yeah.
Just like quite the lineup.
The girlies are killing it. We also had lots of celebrities there, of course, as well. We had the usuals in Justin and Hailey Bieber. We had Rihanna and A$AP Rocky. Your favourite Zara, Robert Pattinson and Suki Waterhouse were there.
Yeah, Suki, yes.
Then we also had Kendall Jenner. Timothy Chalamet was seen partying at Coachella, sans Kylie Jenner, and there are lots of rumours going around that they are no more.
I kind of feel like they aren't.
I feel like they've broken up. If they were going to be spotted anywhere, it was going to be at Coachella, and the fact he was there solo tells me, yeah, they're done.
I agree. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were, of course, there. They watched Jack Antonoff and his band play. They also were basically front row for Dom Dolla. They were spotted at Ice Spice. They just looked like they were having
the best time.
Great time. It is interesting, right, talking about Coachella this year, because the Los Angeles Times reported that this year's Coachella is the first year in more than a decade not to sell out. There was a really interesting line in the Guardian piece as well that we use as the headline that read, "In the lead up to the festival, fans and press alike dubbed 2024 a flop year, with the Daily Beast going so far as to publish a curtain raiser obit last month with the headline, 'Is this the end of Coachella?' The piece went on, 'As someone who attended, I can confirm the rumours of Coachella's demise are a little premature. Yes, there were fewer people, but the diehards still showed up, with a notable exception being the so-called Queen of Coachella, Vanessa Hudgens, who skipped out this year due to pregnancy. Some of the attendees I spoke to were there for their 5th, 8th or 10th time. It's a tradition they admitted to planning their year around, no matter who plays." Me reading this stuff and looking at Coachella makes me feel like Coachella in its flop era is, to me, Coachella being back.
Yeah.
But I am also the one that writes red text on TikTok, so I don't know if I have an opinion anymore.
No, I find this fascinating because what I've noticed online is a bunch of influencers, so many content creators, announcing pre-Coachella, like the day or two before, "I'm not going this year, Coachella is done, it's uncool, blah, blah, blah." And then as a backwash to that, all those influencers saying it's not cool actually made it cool again, because the average person was like, it's not an influencer festival as much as it used to be anymore. Coachella's back.
Well, I did see influencer pop-ups there, but nowhere near to the level I've seen in the past. Like, I think we've spent so much time in the last, I would say, 5 years talking about Coachella in conjunction with Revolve, when a brand like Revolve decides that, you know, after their sort of little hiccups of the last year or two, not to do it anymore, I'm not seeing as many pop-ups. And you do kind of get the sense that it is slightly more for the diehards. As The Guardian read, it was like, these are the people who have come every single year. It's interesting. The other thing we saw on TikTok this week, Mish, was a now deleted video from celebrity stylist Maeve Riley. She basically begged people not to wear certain costumes, certain outfits to Coachella, saying it was not cool and it was done.
She didn't want to see like bedazzled outfits. She didn't want to see rhinestones. That kind of classic Coachella look that I think really rose up in maybe 2015. Maeve was essentially saying, no more this, we're done with this, we're sick of it. But the response to Maeve was fascinating.
Yeah, so then you had an influencer, Madeline White, come back to it, sort of stitch it or duet or whatever you call it.
Stitch it for the millennials out there.
Whatever. It's too late. I can't get out of this hole now. And she said this, and this TikTok video had 2.5 million likes.
Boo. This is an astronomically bad take. If you want to go to Coachella in a tank top and jeans because it's comfortable and that's what you want to be, that's great. I'm all for that. But if you want to go to Coachella in sparkles and rhinestones and feathers because it's a festival, and that's your only opportunity to do that because we can't really wear that to go to the bar on a Saturday night, please do it. That's what festivals are for fun and self-expression. I'm going to be doing it. And don't worry about what the cool police over here has to say about it.
I'm actually just going to cut up that video.
Michelle held, she also held her mic. I think that's my first ever bark and my last ever bark on microphone.
I think it should be. I actually am a bit shocked.
That was the nightmare fuel winning. Why did I do that? Why did the impulsive thoughts win that?
Now the intrusive are winning. After that.
Normally I can override it. Why did I bark?
Okay. So we have to talk about the things other than the bark, especially the bark in that video, which is this kind of sentiment, right, does feel representative of, I think, what we're trying to speak to, which is let people do what they want. Mm. This is for the people, stop judging, stop kind of making this into some sort of like festival where there are ways to do it right and ways to do it wrong. People are just coming for the music.
Yeah, it feels distinctly anti-influencer kind of. It's like, don't tell me what is cool. I can decide what's cool. And I know that it's Madeline White coming back to this who is an influencer. But I would say these are two very different camps of influencers.
Yeah.
Maeve Riley is of the ilk to be like, here's what we do. Here's what you should do if you want to conform. Madeline White is very much, I guess in some ways, a de-influencer to say, this is what I like. And if you don't like it, that's fine, but this is for me. And I think Madeline White represents far more what people want in 2024 than what maybe Maeve Riley's video did.
Coming up after the break, Caitlyn Jenner says good riddance to OJ. Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan are still trying to get divorced. And Zendaya is courting Oscars buzz. But first, a word from today's sponsor.
Reformer Pilates has been getting all the hype, and now that I'm also on the bandwagon, I totally get why. It's my go-to feel-good exercise that always leaves me feeling energized and recharged.
I couldn't agree more, Mish, which brings us to our sponsor today, KX Pilates. They have over 100 studios across Australia. Mish, we are so fortunate to have one right around the corner from our office, making it convenient to get a workout in before or after work.
Absolutely, and chances are there's one close to you too. Whether you're new to the world of Reformer Pilates or count yourself as a bit of a seasoned pro, with KX Pilates you can find varied levels of 50-minute workouts that cater to your fitness level.
Yeah, they're fully guided by certified fitness experts who help you feel supported and empowered through every session. With their group class format, you get to be in a room with other people who are also focused on pushing themselves. That's always been my best motivator, Mish.
It's hard not to have a great time in every class. KX Pilates also has a great introductory offer where you get to attend 5 classes for only $60. That is just $12 a class.
If you've been wondering if Reformer Pilates is the right exercise for you, this is the perfect chance to try it out. Getting to go to a fun and dynamic workout for the price of 2 coffees is a steal.
Start your next fitness chapter and purchase the introductory offer via the KX app or head to their website at kxpilates.com.
Thank you so much to KX Pilates for making this episode of Shameless possible.
Our second story, Caitlyn Jenner's two-word send-off to OJ Simpson is pure ice. That is from HuffPo.
Well, it would have been tough to miss over the weekend, but 76-year-old OJ Simpson passed away from cancer at the end of last week. Of course, OJ is best known for being acquitted of the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman, in his highly publicized trial in 1995. In 1997, a jury in a civil trial found him responsible for willingly and wrongfully causing their deaths. I mean, I'm giving the recap, but I'm sure so many of us already know those facts.
Yeah, for sure. In response to the news that OJ had passed, Caitlyn Jenner tweeted 2 words. She wrote, good riddance. So why did Caitlyn Jenner enter the chat? Well, we know, of course, that Kris Jenner and Caitlyn got married in 1991. They were together at the time that Nicole and Ron died. Kris Jenner was also one of Nicole Brown's closest friends. Her ex-husband, Robert Kardashian, was close friends with OJ Simpson and was actually a really big part of his legal team.
Yeah, Caitlyn has been previously very vocal about her belief that OJ was responsible for the murders. And in her 2017 memoir, The Secrets of My Life, she also described him as the most narcissistic, egocentric, neediest arsehole in the world of sports I had ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Caitlin copped a tiny bit of backlash for her post. I think it was a lot of people loved this and a lot of people didn't like it in equal measure. Some people were pointing out that Caitlin's 2015 car crash, which actually resulted in the death of a 69-year-old called Kim Howe, meant that maybe she shouldn't weigh in on stories like this?
Yeah, I don't think anyone read this tweet and thought, oh, unfair to OJ. I think people were like, oh, interesting coming from you because of that car crash. Mm. For context, no charges were ever filed against Caitlyn Jenner, but it was a big and it was a tragic story. Mm. Jenner actually responded to this backlash as well. Like, she acknowledged that people were coming for her about this. She wrote, I know you all think it's cute to compare a fatal car accident with multiple vehicles involved to a brutal murder, but remember, OJ said something to the effect of, I could kill her and get away with it because I'm OJ Simpson. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever you think of Caitlyn Jenner and that car crash, I do think it's a strange comparison to try and make these two things even be put in the same sentence.
I completely agree. While we're here, can I actually give you both a little, are you in need of some intrigue?
You can always give me some intrigue.
Okay. Are you both familiar with O.J. Simpson's book?
No.
Okay. So, oh, you are about to find this fascinating.
Right.
So,
talk it up.
O.J. Simpson in the mid-noughties announced that he was working on a book called If I Did It in collaboration with a ghostwriter. And it was a book all about how if he killed Nicole and Ron, which he said he didn't, here's how he would do it if he was the murderer. This was an incredibly controversial thing. This book is out in the world, by the way.
That's so yuck.
In fact, it was going to be published by HarperCollins, which is owned by News Corp. In 2006, Rupert Murdoch copped it for this. They were not only going to publish the book, Fox was actually going to publicize the book by doing like an exclusive interview with O.J. Simpson for If I Did It. Now, the public said, we absolutely don't want this. This needs to be squashed. And Rupert Murdoch came out and said, you know, it was inappropriate and they wouldn't be doing that anymore. But the book went ahead and the book got published. It has sold well over 300,000 copies.
With a different publisher?
Different publisher. Right. Wasn't published by HarperCollins in the end. But O.J. Simpson, you know, released the book. It did quite well. But very, very quickly, O.J. Simpson ended up being taken to court by Ron Goldman's family, who said, hey, you still haven't paid us what you owe us from the civil trial.
Yes.
At the time of that, he owed $33.5 million of damages. So as part of that court trial in 2007, the rights to his book, If I Did It, were given to Ron Goldman's family. Ron Goldman's family made a few choices. They own this book now. They completely changed the cover. So when you buy If I Did It now, the cover actually reads, I did it, with if in tiny, tiny letters. If you guys get the photos now.
I know we've thrown the word iconic around a few times today, but that is powerful.
Yep. They also added a subtitle, Confessions of the Killer. They also added in their own section of the book, which was their commentary. Back to his commentary, they also make all of the profits from the book. So if you buy this book, which, you know, I don't know if I recommend you buy it or not. I guess it's murky terrain. But the Goldman family get everything from that book now.
Well, I think the added context here as well is, as you said, the Goldman family were owed upwards of $30 million because of this civil trial. And that's often why they can actually call him the murderer, because in that civil trial, he was found, you know, responsible for the deaths. Mm-hmm. That figure now, because OJ has paid barely any of it, is close to $100 million, both with time and fines and interest and delays. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, what an interesting tidbit. I did not know that.
Yeah. It's also now topping bestsellers lists in America since OJ's death. So I think a lot of people would have seen this book cover around in recent days, and that is the backstory behind it. That is why it now reads, I did it, with tiny, tiny, tiny little if that you can barely even see.
Yeah, it would be a really tough time for the families, I think, this week, particularly with all of these kind of stories around. So obviously some people are deciding to push through that murky terrain and buy the book, Mitch.
Exactly. Our third story, Jenna Dewan and Channing Tatum are still fighting over Magic Mike. That is from The Cut. You know a lot about this story. Can you explain it to me?
This is a little complicated and weird, but I'm going to walk you through it. I mean, did we know that even though Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan announced their separation 6 years ago, they're not actually divorced?
I did not know it until you told me about it this week.
I didn't know that either, and I think I thought they were both divorced for two reasons. Firstly, they basically gave birth to the overly saccharine split announcement.
I remember this maybe in early days of Shameless.
I will read it to you in a sec.
Okay.
But the other fact here and the other reason I thought they were divorced is Jenna Dewan is engaged to a new partner. Mm. Channing Tatum is reportedly engaged. So I thought, you know, if you're planning weddings.
Oh, they've moved on.
Yeah.
They've fully moved on.
Let me talk about this statement firstly.
Okay.
Right? And then get to the other reasons I thought they were divorced.
Take us back to 2018.
So in 2018, after being together for over 12 years, remember they met on Step Up, they married in 2009 and they did have a child in 2013. They split in 2018 and they put this out into the world on Instagram. We have lovingly chosen to separate as a couple. We fell deeply in love so many years ago and have had a magical journey together. Absolutely nothing has changed about how much we love one another, but love is a beautiful adventure that is taking us on different paths for now. There are no secrets nor salacious events at the root of our decision. Just two best friends realizing it's time to take some space and help each other live the most joyous, fulfilled lives as possible. We are still a family and will always be dedicated, loving parents.
Well, they didn't lie. They're still married. They are still a family.
Yeah. But absolutely nothing has changed. That's got to be my favorite line ever. Now, as I said, Jenna has since moved on with Steve Casey. They have one child together. They have another on the way. Channing is reportedly engaged to Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, yeah. I always forget those two are together.
Well, they met when he was cast for her hit film, remember?
Oh, my God, yes. And then the film,
it
something weird happened.
It was called Pussy Island.
Yeah, how could we
Pussy
forget?
Island.
And in a shock to no one in the last few months, they've had to rebrand the name of the film. It's now called Blink Twice.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kitty Island.
No, it's out this year. It's out in the next few months, so I wonder if we should watch
Blink
formally Pussy Island.
Island.
Yeah. Now, the other reason I was confused about this divorce is TMZ actually announced that they were divorced in 2019.
Okay.
But it turns out they were actually just deemed legally single.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
In 2020, Us Weekly also reported that they'd both signed divorce papers and settled on a custody arrangement. But it's confusing because they actually still haven't agreed on the money and they're still now going through a divorce trial.
Oh, shit.
Now, the one thing right now that's making news and the one thing that's delaying things is the IP of Magic Mike. Now, of course, Channing Tatum started the whole Magic Mike omniverse.
He's like the center of the omniverse. He is the omniverse.
Yeah, and the top line version of this is that Jenna Dewan is contending that she's entitled to additional profits generated by Magic Mike because she was there when it was started.
Okay.
According to NBC, her filing reads like this. During the party's marriage, Channing, an actor and producer, got his big break with the motion picture Magic Mike, which along with the underlying intellectual property was developed and co-financed by Channing during marriage with community effort and marital funds. Mm. Now, I can kind of see that, you know, you're married, you're using our money, you're building this. It's a conglomerate now. You're not just thinking about the movies. You've got the stage shows are everywhere.
That I have attended.
Have you?
Yeah. Once for my sister's end. Sorry, I really derailed that for
I like and good.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah,
and I paid the big bucks.
They are exy.
Well, this is what Jenna is trying to fight for. Now, Jenna Dewan's petition contends that Channing Tatum and his like business associates have created a very complex web of LLC of holding companies and partnerships. So just like has the most complicated business structure ever in a calculated effort to kind of conceal the value of certain things. This is what her petition is contending.
The Madam's web of money. Mm.
Yes, exactly. She also alleges that Tatum made decisions about Magic Mike during the marriage without her consent in an effort to shelter money from her.
But remember, they love each other more than ever.
Nothing has changed.
Absolutely nothing.
The first two movies of Magic Mike came out while they were married, and a lot of the other work has happened since. For his part, Channing Tatum and his team have filed their own petition calling Jenna Dewan's accusations a last-ditch effort to delay their drawn-out divorce.
Sounds really happy and loving and joyful.
I just don't know why you'd say absolutely nothing.
Do they know what change means? It's like so much has changed.
And absolutely and nothing, all of it. Anyway, so that's that. So I'll keep you updated.
Oh, I'm obsessed with that. Our fourth story challenges court's Oscars buzz as Zendaya looks to net her first Best Actress nom. That is from Variety. Challenges is out. And it's getting really good reviews. The press tour has also been borderline iconic. Photos and imagery of Zendaya in her Law Roach guided outfits have been everywhere.
Well, very thematic, that is for sure. If you haven't got yourself across the plot line of this film, Challenges basically follows three main characters over 13 years. You have Tashi Duncan, who Zendaya plays, who she's kind of like a former tennis star turned coach who hatches a plan for her husband Art's comeback. Now, the plan pits him against his ex-best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. In the early scenes of the movie, this is not a spoiler. Well, I guess.
I think it's in the trailer.
Yeah. She basically says when she meets them both, she'll give her number to whoever wins the men's juniors of the US Open, which is going on the next day. And that sort of sets them off on this trail of...
They're fighting for a love on the court.
We saw this movie the other night, Mish.
Yeah, we did. And so look, if you don't want to hear another word about it because you plan on seeing it, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler alert. We actually won't spoil the ending, but just fast forward 2 minutes.
Some people are weird about this. My family in particular. Like, I can't even say I saw a movie without them running out of the room. Like, I can't even say that I saw it because apparently my facial expressions will give something away.
Isn't Ollie militant about
this? Yeah, Ollie is as well. He
about Succession episodes, he'd be like, don't even look at me if you've seen it. Like,
he says I give him a glint and he knows.
You're an expressive woman, Zara.
He knows that something big has happened.
Okay, well, we're not going to say another word. Fast forward. We're going to give you 3 seconds of silence to make sure you get there. Fast forward 3 minutes from now. Hello, everyone else.
We're back.
We're back. Okay. I recommend people see this film,
first of all.
You have to see it. I've never seen anything like it, and I really fucking love a tennis movie.
Look, I love a tennis movie. The director loves himself sick. Wait, you can't get out of the room. Do you want to see this movie?
I do want to see, but I don't mind spoilers.
We won't spoil it.
I Wikipedia everything in advance.
No. We won't spoil it. The people who have seen it will understand what I say. When the way music is used in this film is unlike I have ever seen music used in my life. I got the giggles from the music, but I don't think I was supposed to. I was like, I had tears in my eyes because I got overwhelmed by the music.
The music was really, it felt very jarring in most scenes.
Like comical. Towards the end, comical, but I don't think it was supposed to be comical.
No, the music was very jarring. There was a scene at some point in the movie, I won't tell you when, there was a scene at some point in the movie and I reckon it went for 15 minutes and I truly think it could have gone for 30 seconds.
No. And if Zara...
I have never seen a 30 second... It was in real life, it would have been 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it went for 15 minutes. And I was dying. I was like, fucking move this ship along.
So much slow-mo, so many music breaks. I was pissing myself laughing because if Zara hates one thing, it's inefficiency. And this was the most inefficient scene in any film I've ever watched. And it wasn't dramatic. It was tedious.
Yeah.
I still recommend you watch the film.
I also felt really stupid watching
it. Well, we don't actually know.
What happened?
And then I Googled challenges explained and I couldn't find anything.
Yes.
So,
either everyone's pretending they understand or we are the dumbest people to have ever watched
the
movie.
I've felt that so many times in movies before.
I know.
Have you seen Call Me By Your Name? Because I'm pretty sure it's the same director.
Yes, I've seen that. Oh, that makes so much sense.
That's a pretty highbrow film.
Yeah, I thought I was getting myself in for a fun little sweet rom-com about tennis, which it was in parts.
In parts it was. I do have to say the acting was really strong.
Yeah, do we think Zendaya will get an Oscars nom?
I don't know.
Because often the Oscars come around, I'm like, yeah, I haven't watched any of those films.
It is early in the year, though. Like, we haven't seen a lot of the films, so this kind of happens in the early films released. The other thing I will say before we move on is her tennis form was spectacular.
What the hell?
She looked so beautiful and graceful and powerful
and
on the court.
Unbelievable. I was so like, you should have been a tennis player.
So much better than the man.
Are we being duped?
Always.
Are we being duped by body doubles?
No, because no. The parts when she was like fully close up, she obviously wasn't hitting the ball every single time, but the way her form was moving.
Well, because she's a dancer by trade, I think.
Her serve was immaculate.
Yeah, she was amazing. So I guess we will have to wait and see what happens.
See the film, guys, and then come talk to us about it because I've got thoughts.
So many thoughts.
Our fifth story. Meet Leah Holton, the influencer who could break the most liked TikTok video record. That is from the New York Post. A super quick one.
This is not on my corner of TikTok.
It is all over my corner of TikTok. Is it on your corner of TikTok, Belly?
No, it's not.
Okay, well, let me introduce you to Australian influencer, 23-year-old Leah Holton. She is from Melbourne. She is on track to break the record for the most liked video in TikTok's history. Her video has over 40 million likes in the matter of 2 months. It has 658 million views. This is a video that was posted in Feb, but has absolutely exploded for whatever reason, based on the algorithm, in the last week.
I have seen this.
Yeah. So the video is essentially Leah scrunching up her face really close to the camera, like zoomed in on her face.
In the car.
In the car.
I have seen this.
Pulling the phone away, and then she's lip syncing in the passenger seat of the car to the song Praise Jah in the moonlight. And for whatever reason, I mean, she's a very, very beautiful woman, so I'm guessing obviously partly that. This video has just taken the internet by storm. It's officially overtaken the strawberries covered in chocolate video.
Why?
Which we've never talked about on this podcast.
Because that was a stupid thing to go viral. Sorry.
Oh, I missed this one too, damn.
Oh,
I actually liked that
I actually just thought everyone grow up.
You are?
All right, red tech.
Yeah, you are a millennial, so.
Now, Leah has climbed to 7.7 million TikTok followers. She has gained 5 million followers in the last 2 weeks alone. I mean, in all our time doing this show, I'm obviously not across every corner of social media. 5 million followers on a platform in the space of 2 weeks, that has to be up there with the highest growing social media profiles in history.
Well, yeah, I think for people that don't have an existing platform, I know we talk a lot about, when the Royals signed up or Jennifer Aniston signs up, but if we're talking about somebody who doesn't have that kind of existing audience, it's pretty astounding. I also think it's fair to say 5 million followers in 2 weeks is life-changing.
Oh my God, completely life-changing. I was thinking, I'm like, is LA calling up Leah Holton? Like, surely there's someone who's watching this going, this woman could be the next Addison Rae, Charli D'Amelio, Alex Earle. She's got more followers than Alex Earle now. So that's what's crazy. Stopping her from being the next major influencer on the platform?
And she's from Melbourne.
From Melbourne. Or Melbourne, as it should be. Our sixth story. Joe Lycett admits hoax on Channel 4 show. That is from Digital Spy. This is so...
Are you still laughing at the Melbourne thing?
No, I'm laughing
thing
at
now?
This.
Okay, cool.
Annabelle, you missed this last week. Do you know what this is about? Have you been listening to the show?
Edited last episode. Yeah, which is very funny, by the way, the outro to the last episode when you were like, code word.
I was like, no, this is my job. I have to edit this from home.
All right. Well, to refresh everyone's memory, last week we finished on a story about the British comedian Joe Lycett, who had announced that he was the mastermind behind multiple fake news stories of recent times. And being the mastermind was all part of a segment for his relaunched television show, Late Night Lycett. We speculated that maybe this mastermindism / genius knew no bounds. We were speculating that he was behind the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience. We were wrong.
I can't remember if I thought this or I said this, but I definitely have thought this is the best comedic thing I'd seen in decades. And it's not. It wasn't. It was not that fun. As per Digital Spy, Joe Lycett confirmed that he was behind a recent news story where someone shared a bruise on their leg in the shape of Prince Harry's face. The presenter was also the mastermind behind the story of a new street painting in Birmingham, which was believed to be the work of Banksy, as well as a statue of step star Ian H. Watkins being built in his hometown of Cowbridge.
I didn't see any one of these stories.
I also don't give a fuck about any of these fake stories, real or otherwise.
The funniest part about this, I watched the show where he was kind of announcing what was his and what wasn't, was he would like put up the stories that we were speculating on last week. So he put up the fucking hedgehog story and was like, you might have seen this in the media, a hedgehog that was confused for a furry hat bubble. And everyone in the audience is like laughing, like getting into it, being like, oh my God, he's about to reveal that it's him. And then he goes, it wasn't me. And everyone in the crowd's like, ah. And he's like, what was me? And he's like, the Prince Harry bruise. And the audience is like, also, we didn't see that one.
How funny that last week I was like, I'm such an idiot. Like, obviously that story's not real. Like, I feel like such a dill. And now I'm like, wait, it's real.
Double dill.
I'm dill central.
Double dill. Death by being a dill. Yeah, no, the furry, fluffy hat bubble.
So that was true. Real.
No, someone genuinely did confuse a hat bubble for a hedgehog. I do have one other one that Joe Lycett was behind. He said he was behind a widely reported study that found that men from Birmingham have the biggest penises. And he did that because he is from Birmingham. Which, like,
this is why I hate men.
I mean, I love Joe Lycett. He's one of my favorite comedians. But I think this is a classic case of going too viral, a little thing you're doing for fun, getting too much attention, the public getting too behind it, blowing it up to be like, he's behind one of the biggest pop culture stories about time.
He must have been dying to not me.
People are like, he must be behind celebrity divorce announcements, like he's behind major news stories. No, he was behind the bruise thing and something about Ian H. Watkins.
I think that we should call this episode, Is This Joe? No.
Is this Joe?
No.
No.
I think that's all we've got time for today. Nanobot, so good to have you.
I'm so happy to be back. I really miss this. Although it does feel like I never left.
It does feel like you never left.
We love having you.
Where can they find us, Michelle?
Find us on social media. Oh,
don't come find us. Go sign up for Stylish's newsletter.
Yeah, screw us. Follow Stylish.
Follow Stylish. We're on Instagram at stylish_au. It's hard to get usernames in 2024, let's be real.
We also chose a name. Let's be honest. Let's be real with the listeners. We also chose a name that, look, it's going to be confusing for you to spell out, but when you see it in the artwork, you'll be like, that does make sense. It's style_ish_au. I like it.
It does read like style. Ishow. Stylishow. You will find both our Instagram account and you will find a link tree where you can sign up to our newsletter. Please do that. We are very grateful for so many of you getting behind us on this and we're so excited for you to see all the content coming.
Woohoo!
Annabelle Lee, thank you for editing this one.
Of course.
From the future or from the past. I'm not sure. We gotta go.
Triple deal at this point, sorry.
Bye guys.
Just a deal.
3Media.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favourite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.